Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
This Bible teacher started with the simple message of God's unconditional love and grace. For years, he and his wife duplicated teaching tapes in their own home. He went on radio and often gave his teachings away to those who asked for them. Years later, a small building was needed to house a few volunteers and employees. The ministry grew until it was bursting at the seams. Soon, the next 15,000 square foot building became too small as a Bible college and television ministry were launched. Today, a 110,000 square foot building is running out of room. 157 acres have been purchased to accommodate the growth, but the message remains the same. It's the gospel truth.
I want to share some things with you that God has been doing in my life and in this ministry that is just awesome. And I believe that it is going to make a profound impact on the body of Christ. There are some things that have happened in my life and my ministry that are making a huge impact on us. I've shared this with the people who get our monthly mailing. But I also thought that, you know, there are many of you who watch this program who've been really blessed. You feel a connection with this ministry because God's used it to touch your life. And I really believe that there's many of you who would want to know what is happening, what God is doing, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a part of it today. Let me just share that God has done some wonderful things. I could go back and spend a lot of time talking about this because really, since the Lord touched my life in 1968, He just made me start dreaming about impacting the world and how He was going to take the truths that He was putting in my life and change people's lives. And I mean, for 42 years, I have been dreaming and dreaming about impacting people. And of course, it's evolved and developed. And since 1994, we've had our Charis Bible College going. And we have just been seeing people's lives change. Many of you that have watched this program have seen some of the destiny stories that we played and some of our Bible College graduates that have gone out. And I mean, they are changing nations. They have met with the president and the first lady in nations. And I mean, it is profound, the impact that's being made. We have just opened up a broadcast across 11 time zones of Russia, where I'm preaching in Russian. It's been dubbed into Russian, and it's our Bible College graduates who have gone over there, who've established the school, who are running this office, who made these connections. And through these people, it's like God is leveraging what I'm doing. And I am so excited because the people that are going through our Charis Bible College are going out and they're doing the things that God has allowed me to do, and they are doing it and reproducing this message, and it's just, it's awesome. But here's what I wanted to share today. Because our Charis Bible College is just, I mean, it's picking up momentum. We are seeing people's lives changed. A couple of years ago, I just realized that we had to start doing something. I took some immediate steps, and we've spent some money expanding our facility here. A church that meets in our building actually bought the facility next door and is, at the time I'm speaking, in the process of renovating it and making an 1,100-seat auditorium out of that. And we will be able to use their facility as well as ours. And this will allow us to expand up to around 1,000 people in our school. But did you know at the rate that we've been growing, there's some significant things that happened. And in June of 2009, I sat down and I began to figure out that at the rate we grew from 2008-2009 school year to the 2009-2010 school year, it was a 45% increase. I think we went from 283 students to 411. And I just sat down and figured that if we continued this growth rate, and before I tell you the results of that, let me just say that this growth rate, this 45% growth rate in this last year in our school, just the one here in Colorado Springs, is not an anomaly. It's not an exception because We have a single program on TBN once a week, but we are planning on going on that station on a regular basis. And it's just like, it's huge compared to all of the other individual stations that we have and networks. And this is going to cause a huge influx. So the reason I mention that is that this 45% growth rate is not an exception. I think actually it could even speed up and advance beyond that. Plus, we have started a third year of our Bible school, which is really awesome. I'm not going to spend time now to promote it, but it is just making the school so much better. God is doing some wonderful things. It'll take a period of time, but that is going to cause the school to grow at an exponential rate. And plus, on top of all of those things, we started a online Bible school. And with just 2 weeks advertisement, we had 100 students start in our first online Bible school. And I believe that within just a very short period of time, that's going to grow. We've got 10 nations represented, 27 states in the United States. And I think that within a year's time or so, we'll have 1,000 people in our online Bible school. And what this is going to do, we only have the first year curriculum available. And so this will expose the ministry of our Caris Bible College to a huge number of people. They will want to come for the second year and for the third year program. And so that is going to fuel the growth. So I say all that to say that I don't believe that this 45% growth that we experienced in the last year is an exception. It could even accelerate. But at that 45% growth, if this continued on in the 2010 school year, which starts in September through 2011, we would have 595 students. And then if it continues on the next year at that same growth rate, we would have, I think it's 864. And in the next year, it would be like 1,200 plus. And so as I sat down and figured these things out, I thought, you know what? Even with using the facility next door, we have a window here of about 3 or 4 years that we can accommodate growth, and then we would have to start limiting the growth, put a limit on how many people could come, and, you know, that just doesn't seem right to me. So I realized that at the way God is blessing this ministry, it was time to grow again. And so I began to think about this, and then I had the privilege of going and with a number of other ministers, I got to meet with Oral Roberts in his home of June of 2009. Now, let me just say that every time I mention any person, there's somebody who writes in and say, how dare you associate with them because somebody doesn't like this person. You know, whether you like Oral Roberts or whether you agree with everything, I can't say that I agree with everything. But here's the point. It's like he's been down a road that I'm going down and he's gone down it before me. It would be the same as if a person was taking a trip and if they were 100 miles ahead of you on the same interstate, it doesn't matter whether you like them or agree with everything they do. Just the fact that they've already been where you're going, they could be of benefit to you. They could call you and tell you what the road conditions are. They could tell you if there's a detour. They could tell you if there's a wreck. You know, you can gain from people that have been somewhere before. And when I met with Oral Roberts in his home, there was a lot of good that came out of that. But one of the things was it just like struck a match and set me on fire. When you get around a visionary, it just tends to, if you are a visionary, it just rekindles that within you. And I was facing all of these things about our ministry is going to have to grow again and that we are going to have to make some provision. And when I met with Oral Roberts, I tell you what, it just stirred me up that, boy, I need to go to believing big, and now is the time to do it. So this was in June of 2009. I came home from California. I called 5 of my guys together that are on staff, people that God has supernaturally added to me. You know, the ministry has grown now to where it's not just me preaching the word. There is so much involved. And I just can't do things on my own anymore. It takes an army of people. We've got 200 employees now that are helping us to do the things that we're doing. And I realized that if we were going to build or accommodate this expansion, I was going to need help. I was going to need other people that would get hold of my vision and help me do it. So I got David Hardesty. He's the general manager of our ministry. He was trained by Sears for 37 years, managed large numbers of people and money. I also got Jim Ertle, who worked for CBN with Pat Robertson. He's worked with Oral Roberts. I got Larry Bozeman, who administered three hospitals at one time with thousands of people under him. And I got Larry Hodge, as a man who worked for civilian. He was a civilian, but he worked at Tinker Air Force Base and had thousands of people working under him. And these are just quality guys that God has put me in a relationship with. They all work here at the ministry. So I got them together. And let me just say that, you know, this was a little bit scary to me because it was the first time that I've ever really just submitted my vision to other people. In the past, when the Lord told me to do something, I basically got the message and I ramrodded it, oversaw it, and made it come to pass. And I haven't done it perfectly, but by the grace of God, you know, we have been blessed. But the ministry has just grown. There's so much to all of this that I just felt like I needed other people to come alongside, and they were going to have to help this vision come to pass. And as I went in to meet with these men, I was actually a little apprehensive. I prayed about it because I was going to submit all of the things that God had put in my heart for 40 years to this group of guys. And if they poured cold water on it and says, oh, we can't do anything, it's too expensive, we're going to just separate the school and put it over here and keep the ministry in this building, or we're going to limit the growth of the school, or whatever. I'm not saying I would have just gone with them completely, but it certainly would have been a major influence. And it was a little bit scary to submit my vision to these people. But I got them together. I just shared with them, showed them these growth rates that I've presented to you. And I said, we've got to make plans now to accommodate this growth. What do you think needs to happen? We discussed it, but the long and the short of it is everybody felt like we shouldn't limit the number of people we're ministering to. We need to let the school grow. I really believe that God is going to bring this school to where it has over 2,000 people in it. And so everybody was in agreement. They said that we can't just separate the school into first year, second year, third year in different buildings around town. We can't separate the school from the ministry because they're so closely tied together. About 80 or 90% of all the people who answer our phones are Bible college students. And so as we discussed it, we just decided we really need to keep everything together. We couldn't find one building or one place in Colorado Springs that would accommodate this. We were going to have to buy land. We started discussing this. And, you know, to come up, we figured that we needed around 100 acres minimum, and possibly more would be better. And to come up with that kind of land, we had to go way east of Colorado Springs, way north of Colorado Springs, and we were looking at spending $20 million for around 100 acres for nothing. I mean, land that didn't have any improvements on it. Land that was, you know, not desirable. And as we discussed all of this, I just thought, I don't want to spend $20 million for a piece of land. And so we just were discussing this, and in the process, I said, you know, we might consider moving up the mountains. Colorado Springs is right on the edge of Pikes Peak. It's on kind of on the plains right up against Pikes Peak. And if you just go up into the mountains a short way, the property values go way, way down. And I brought this up and they said, well, how much cheaper is it up there? And I said, well, I've only looked at really one piece of property. And a year before this, or not even a year before, I had looked at a piece of property that was in Woodland Park, 15 miles from Colorado Springs, and it was started at $10 million for 157 acres. It has a lodge on it that has been estimated over $2 million, anywhere from $2 to $3 million just for the lodge, and $10 million for the whole property. Well, when I looked at it, it was for $6 million, which was a big discount. And I was saying, this is, you know, the how much cheaper it is up there than it is for like 100 acres in Colorado Springs, $20 million with nothing on it. And as I said this, Larry Bozeman, one of the men that was this in this group, he went with me when I first looked at this property. And he says, oh, they just called me last week and they came down to $4 million for this. They will carry $2 million. All you have to do is put $2 down. And as we evaluated all of the things, it just was so obvious. It's like the Lord, in a sense, herded us in this direction. Why in the world would we spend $20 million five times as much money for something with one-tenth the potential, nothing on it, and all of these things. So anyway, we decided to go look at it. The long and the short of this story is that in September of 2009, we bought this piece of property in Woodland Park, 157 acres inside the city limits. We don't know for sure exactly what it's worth, but I can guarantee you it's worth more than $10 million. It could be $15 or more million that that's worth, and we got it for a fraction. Plus, this lodge that's on there is just awesome, and God has given it to us. But the main thing, we didn't buy it for the lodge. That's just like a perk that the Lord has thrown in, and we're using it for ministers when they come through, missionaries, and we're using it to minister to people, and it's been a tremendous blessing. But the main thing is, this has now, I really believe that God led us into this. Like one of our students asked my wife about this and says, do you really believe that this was God that did this? And my wife just said, you know, we'd have had to backslide on God not to do this. We would have had to spend five times as much money for something with one-tenth the potential. I mean, it was a no-brainer. It was like God just nearly forced us into this. And because of that, I am absolutely convinced that the Lord wants us to build a campus that will facilitate our Caris Bible College growth. I anticipate having over 2,000, maybe 2,500, up to 3,000 people in our Bible school. And so, since September of 2009, we have been meeting with architects and builders. We've come up with some artist renderings of what we believe the buildings will be like. We're going to build an auditorium that will seat 2,500 people. It will also have space in there for all of our hundreds of people that answer the phones, our television department, our Caris Bible College offices and things like that. And then attached to that is this other building that we're calling the barn. It's actually going to be a cafeteria thing that where you can seat 750 people at tables, or if you take the tables out, you can seat 1,500 people in there. Below that will be a 500-seat auditorium, and I think, I forget the exact number, but 20 or 25 classrooms. It'll seat 50 to 100 apiece, and it will accommodate our Bible college. So with this facility, we'll be able to have an assembly of 2,500 people at one time. We'll be able to divide them so that we can have one class of 1,000 in the auditorium, one class of 1,000 in this secondary building. And when we hold our special meetings, we normally double what our student population is. So if we had 2,500 people, we could put our students in these other classrooms and additional auditoriums with closed-circuit television. We could accommodate like 5,000 people at a meeting. And I really believe that, you know, we have cut corners where we could, but God gave us this beautiful piece of property. The lodge that is on there is first class, and I don't believe in going and being extravagant, but I don't think God wants us to be cheap. So we've cut corners where we could and done what we can. Our builder it's just awesome, the things that God has done. I could spend a lot more time doing this, but I just wanted to share with you that I believe that the Lord has now opened up a door for us to accommodate all of the growth that's happening through the rest of my lifetime. This is, I believe, where my vision is going to go. We're going to build this facility where Caris Bible College can begin to grow and expand. You know, it's kind of like one of those fish tanks that if you put a fish in a little tiny bowl, it limits its growth. If you put it in a big tank, it'll grow to that. I really believe that God has given us a place where we will be able to grow and accommodate this growth. And the end results will be, of course, individual lives change. But then those individual lives, I believe, are going to go out and take this message of the nearly too good to be true gospel, and they're going to take it around the world. And just like we're seeing in India and in South Africa and in Uganda and in Belize and in England and Belfast and all over the world, they are going to go out and they are going to be taking this message and changing people's lives. And I really believe that when this reaches its full potential, that this Caris Bible College is going to be a factor, that it'll be opening up new churches that will be able to teach this gospel. And I really believe that this is one of the focus of what God has given me. Through our television, we reach large numbers of people. But through our Bible school, we train people to a degree that we just can't do through television, and we are able to actually raise up disciples that will go out and teach others also. And I'm excited about this. So I wanted to share this with you because I wanted to give a testimony about the goodness of God, about what God has done. But also, it's going to be about a $35 to $40 million project to build this out. And I know that that sounds like a huge amount of money, and it is. But did you know, really, there are a huge amount of people watching this program. Matter of fact, I brought these stats in. This is the latest Nielsen rating that evaluates our program and all Christian programming and everything else. And on this Nielsen rating, our program is the fourth most watched Christian program in the nation. Now, the Nielsen only evaluates 39 stations that we're on. We're actually on 176 stations just in the United States. And then we're on networks also, the Daystar Network and TCT and TBN and the Church Channel. And I don't know, there's a lot of others. And we're on a lot of networks. But just these 39 programs that it evaluates, these 39 stations, has the potential of reaching 30.5 million households. If over 40 months, the people that are watching this program, and we're blessed, just send in $1 a month. You know what? If a million people did that, we would meet this goal. Now, I'm not sure that there's a million people who will desire to do that, but I'm saying it can be done. If we only had 100,000 people send $10 a month, it would be done over a 40-month period of time. Of course, you know, if you just continue going down, if you had 10,000 people giving $100 a month, it's not a big deal. It's really not that big of a deal. And most of all, from my perspective, I know that this is what God has led me to do, so I feel no pressure. I don't want you to feel any pressure about this, but I thought you would want to know about it. And we do need people, if God has touched you, to participate. We've got a partnership that we have made special for this that we call Foundation Builders, because we're not only building the foundation of these buildings, we're building foundations in people so that they can go out and change the world. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about this. If you desire to, please join with us and become a Foundation Builder today.
If you'd like to join with Andrew in preparing thousands of faithful men and women to reach the world with the message of God's unconditional love and grace, become a Foundation Builder today. To become a Foundation Builder, you can go to our website, awmi.net, click on Partnerships, then click on Foundation Builders and follow the instructions. Finally, you can call our helpline at 719-635-1111 between the hours of 4 a.m. and 10 p.m. Mountain Time, Monday through Friday. Remember, all donations to this project should be in addition to your regular giving to Andrew Womack Ministries.
Even when I was living in the world, I knew God loved me. My mom taught me that God loved me. But I was pretty self-centered, so the thing that God worked with me was on self-centeredness.
As long as there is self-trust, as long as you think, God, what a wise choice you made in choosing me. I can see the wisdom. I'm an awesome person. You just get me on the stage and I can handle it from here. If that's your attitude, you're destined to fail. You need to come to a place to where you recognize that you, without Christ, can do nothing.
So in 2004, God really spoke to me very clearly. He said, I want you to give up marriage as if you will never get married. And then if I give you someone, you will know it's from me. And I remember my very first response was, ta-da-da-da-da, you know, because, you know, I was thinking, give up marriage. Because when God says give up something, He doesn't mean pretend like, okay, God, I gave it up, but still have it in my heart. He said, give it up as if you never would. And so I did. I gave up marriage and I thought, all right, that's it. I'm not going to get married. The rest of my life on the mission field doing ministry will be single. And something changed in me.
I moved out of Hindu mysticism and started getting interested in New Age thinking.
I never knew what I was doing. I was in like identity crisis.
I was at work one day and I was looking out the window waiting for the elevator, and God spoke to my heart and He said, Nicola, don't be afraid of the unknown.
After you start sowing the word in your heart and you start conceiving, after a while you build up momentum. And it's like you're going 1,000 miles an hour. And you know what? You just can't make a U-turn when you're going 1,000 miles an hour.
man, you have to slow down. It takes a long time to slow down and to apply the brakes and turn around. There are some of you that are moving so slowly that if a pebble got in your way, you wouldn't have enough momentum to get over it.
And I realized that was, my life was not going 1,000 miles an hour, because U-turns were still possible. And I realized when I listened to that one tape that I wanted to get to a place where my life was fast enough so that there was no turning around.
The transition actually happened before I came to CBC. God woke me up one morning early in 2004 and asked me to sell my home and everything, and I said okay. I had originally thought about going and spending time in monasteries around the United States, and I knew my mom wouldn't be too happy about that since she's born again and spirit-filled. And I called her one day and I told her what I was planning. She said, you know, I think that's great. I'm just going to start praying for you.
Coming to CBC was a real faith test for me. It was a real trusting God thing. You know, I don't know anybody. I don't have a job. And I came here and God was so faithful to me. He provided for me. He provided for my mom. He took care of her every single month, which was just a miracle. It was a total absolute miracle. God came up with a lot of money out of nowhere every single month.
I said, what is the challenge? What's the biggest challenge for you? When thinking of you're going to India, and he said, there's no challenge. And I remember in the beginning, I thought, that's not honest. You know, there are challenges.
We knew that we were called. And so that was the main drive.
We had this idea that we were going to have packs on our backs
and Bibles in our hands,
and we were going to go preaching in the remote villages where the name of Christ has never been heard.
I said, God, you said, give up marriage as if I never would get married. I said, but you also said, if you gave me someone, I would know it's from you. So, Lord, I will ask you to help me with this, because this is the kind of person that I would want. So, but if you don't want him, then that's okay, then I don't want him.
So we decided that, okay, from this point on, we're not going to speak to each other, we're not going to write, we're not going to be in contact.
But if you would just put first the kingdom of God, make yourself a living sacrifice, love God and dwell in his presence, when you're delighting yourself in him, he puts his desires in your heart.
If I can't be a missionary because I don't like being on stage in front of people. And just through coming to CBC and going on the missions trip, I saw that, you know, it's not mission. Missions isn't only being out there in the public eye. It's also being back there behind the scenes.
People don't know that God loves them. People don't really understand their salvation. But I'm going to tell you, God has given us a plan, and he's given us the tools through Andrew, and we're seeing people change forever. And it's not just surface. It is in their spirit, and they've got it.